Pastor Tom, it's just an honor to be here. Man, when you asked me a few years ago to speak at your conference, I was like, what? Anyway, it really blew my mind, and it really, I think, released me into a new level of confidence in what God has called me to do, and it super blessed me. So it's an honor for me to have this opportunity to share. So thank you, Tom, for honoring me and giving me that opportunity. God is so good. Isn't God good? He's so awesome. I want to just give us a quick testimony. My husband and I have been moving from Seattle cross country, from Seattle to Wisconsin. Just this last week, we just finally moved into our house, and things have been pretty crazy, and we never went across the country before, and takes 4 days, if you're driving like 7.5 hours a day, to get from Seattle to Wisconsin, and all the arrangements and the car, the what to do with our stuff and crates. Oh my goodness, it was just kind of crazy, and trying to find a house and sell our house. It's been really crazy. But I want to testify that God is good even in the midst of our craziness. And that we were on a road trip just in the last couple weeks. We were traveling and we were driving into Wisconsin, and I was feeling so depleted. And any of you guys been there before? Mom's been there. Just depleted and just thinking, oh, I'm not a happy camper just because I haven't had my own bed for like 4 or 5 weeks, you know, and I'm weary and I'm grumpy and I'm snapping at my husband and he's snapping at me and the kids are like, what's going on? And a song came on the radio, and it was kind of background noise. I wasn't really listening to it. And I'd heard it before, maybe once or twice. But it was the Honey in the Rock song. Has anybody heard the Honey in the Rock song by Brandon Lake? It's one of those crazy Bethel songs. And I just thought, Honey in the Rock, it's got a cool sound, and I'm singing it, and I'm kind of singing it to myself. But I wasn't really letting the words penetrate and saturate in my heart. And then I hear my sweet little Caleb in the back, and he's singing it, and he's singing his little heart out, singing Honey in the Rock. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, if you haven't heard it, you got to check it out. And all of a sudden, I just started thinking about that, and I'm like, well, that's an interesting song. That's kind of crazy. Is that just a crazy Bethel song? I love Bethel, but sometimes, you know, Bethel really loves to talk about the goodness of God, right? And I'm like, okay, is that really biblical? And so Caleb in the back chimed up right after the song was over and said to me, Mom, is that biblical? And I'm like, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I said, Caleb, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I guess, you know, honey could represent the spirit and the rock is Jesus. But I'm stretching it, you know. I'm like, I don't know what that means. And then I'm like, well, there's water that came out of the rock, but I don't know if there's ever any honey that ever came out of the rock. And that's how I left it, okay? So then the next morning, I get up at our hotel and I go to the gym and I get out my Bible because I like to read my Bible when I'm doing the workout, and I open it up, just random, open up to the middle, boom. I happen upon Psalms 81. And I look, I'm like, no joke, I didn't turn the page or anything, just popped open the Bible, looked at it, and it's the verse right there is that, if my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. And I'm like, wow, it's biblical. And so then I'm like, okay, maybe you're trying to tell me something, God. I don't understand what this honey in the rock is all about. And I'm like, wow, that's weird. I just opened right up to it, and it's just like right there. So I'm like, okay, God, well, if you want to share with me more, show me what this is all about. So a couple days later, we were at Tom Flaherty's house, And as I walked in, I saw his devotional on his coffee table. And I go over and I'm like, oh, I didn't read my devotion for today, because Anthony and I have been reading. Shout out for Tom's devotional. Anthony and I love to read that, and we've just been blessed by his devotional. But in all the chaos, we hadn't been reading together. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what today's devotion is. So I go right to it. I made a beeline to it, and I opened it up, and I started reading it. And I opened right up to today, and the day right before that on the same page was that verse, Honey in the Rock. And it started, and Tom started breaking down what that meant and how when we listen to his voice and we follow in his ways, we get unexpected blessings. We get blessings from God that we didn't even think were possible. Things that are coming out of the rock, honey, not just water, but like rich, pure honey that is sweetness even above and beyond what we thought we were going to get or what we needed. Isn't God good? And so I just want to celebrate that. I'm looking forward to the surprises sermon tomorrow night, because I think God has some honey for us. I think God has some honey for us, and it's going to be good, because what God does is good. And I'm so thankful that that even in the hard places of our lives, in fact, especially in the hard places of our lives, when we're really up against the rock and the hard place, we can encounter God in special ways. And he's right there with us, and we can tap into his presence and receive what he has for us. So before I start, I want us to all pray, bow our heads. And God, we just thank you right now for your presence. Oh, how sweet it is. How sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Because you are so trustworthy. You are so good to us. Thank you, God. You prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. God, even when we are like going, what is going on? Hallelujah. You're there too, and you minister to us, and you speak to us, and you love us. And God, we celebrate your goodness tonight. We thank you, Jesus, for being here with us. God, pour out your presence on your word. Pour out your presence, hallelujah, on me and on all of us. And God, I pray that you just tenderize our hearts. Take us deeper tonight, God, into your love, into your goodness. Teach us, God, how to truly be intimate with you. God, take us past the surface levels, God, and take us deeper. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So as I said, we've been on a journey. And this journey has been quite a ride for me. We have been pastoring at Hope Community Christian Community in Burien. It's south of Seattle for the last 21 years. My heart, I've poured out probably the best years, or maybe my best years are to come, but my best years in that place, love that place. If I start thinking about it, I'm gonna start to cry. our last service, our congregation gathered around us, and I don't know whose idea it was, but they sang the blessing over us. And I'm telling you, I was just like, boo, just crying so hard, all of our church family. Every time I hear that song now, I'm probably just gonna start crying. But it was so hard to let go of what I love so much. Isn't it hard sometimes when we have to let go of the things that we love? So, but I want to share with you a little bit about the process of letting go, because Jesus is so much better. He's so good. He's so good. And so when my husband started feeling the call to make a move, oh boy, I was very resistant. And not willing to give up, not just the mountains, the crystal clear lakes. I'm sorry, guys, your lakes just don't cut it. The beautiful Northwest and my family and my church and all the hopes and dreams that we poured into that place. I was just not ready to give that up. And I was very, very resistant. But because I love Jesus, I love him so much, I decided, okay, God, I'll at least be open to you speaking to me. I doubt this is you, because this is totally crazy. And I don't know how you could be asking us to give up all this, but I'm still going to be open to what you have to say, to listen to him. Isn't it good to listen to the Lord? It's scary sometimes, right? To listen to him because we don't know what he's going to ask us to do. But I yielded, and we came to Fond du Lac to visit in January, and the first time we came to visit, it was cold, 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 flat, 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 cold, 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 windy, windy, windy. Sorry, I'm being so dramatic. Okay, but anyhow, and I was really complaining. I'm like, Anthony, this is ridiculous. It's like we're just taunting them. We're not going to do this. I don't feel comfortable with this. And so I just said, before I went to bed, I said, okay, God, I yield. I'm like saying it with clenched teeth. I yield whatever you want to say to me. If you're going to say it, because I need to know this is really you. And so so I went to sleep. And that night, I had a dream. Does God speak to any of you guys in dreams? Oh, we got some dreamers here. Okay, good. So that night, I had a dream. And the dream was really vivid. It felt like a scene from The Chosen. I'm a drama person, so I love drama and I love The Chosen. And it felt like I was in a scene from The Chosen, and I was in this moment, and I came in on this moment where Jesus is with Peter, and it's after Jesus has rose again, and they're at the beach. They're on the side under the beach, and they're at the campfire. And Jesus has just made the fish, and he's made the good food, and they're enjoying a meal together. And behind Peter is this huge net, like chock full of fish. And like I can see it, like right next, like right behind him is this huge net. And Peter and Jesus are enjoying, and they're having a good meal together. And all of a sudden, Jesus kind of changes the mood, and he asks a really hard question. Peter, do you love me? And remember, this is after Peter had denied Jesus three times, right? And Jesus had risen again, and he's singling Peter out, and he's saying, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yeah, I love you. And then he asks again, Peter, do you love me more than these? And maybe the do you love me more than these happened the first time, but do you love me more than these? And I can actually see Jesus' hand like pointing towards the big pile of fish. And he's saying, do you love me more than these? And Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. And there's a little silence for a little bit. And then he asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And by this time, Peter's getting a little, I mean, he's getting uncomfortable because he's like, Lord, do you know something that I don't know? Am I not loving you good enough? Am I going to fail again? Do you know something but do you really love me? And then he says, yes, Lord. And he says, feed my sheep, right? You guys know the story? And the feed the sheep is in there too. So I'm seeing this scene unfold, and as soon as that happened, that scene was done, but it just stopped, and I woke up. I was like wide awake, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like totally awake, and I'm like, that was so real. I could sense the tension. Do you guys know what I'm talking about, tension? And I could sense that there was something that Jesus was trying to get at, and that there was a laying down, a cost that Jesus was asking of Peter. And Peter wasn't sure if he could really rise to that level of sacrifice. And I felt that. And I'm like, oh God. That was the pizza. That was just a dream, right? That's just a dream. Oh my gosh. But God kept wooing us and kept working on us and kept drawing us. I remember one time there was a sweet lady, an African lady that came to our church, And she, for the first time I met her, I heard cool stories about her. She had led somebody in our church, a woman actually, in prison to the Lord. And she was a powerful woman of God. Not only led her to the Lord, but set her free from demons, like just started speaking in tongues over her, and she got delivered from demonic oppression. So this woman's African-American woman, she's older, and I had heard stories about her, but she was standing in front of me, and I was so excited to meet her, and I gave her big hugs, and I said, "Thank you for coming. I'm so excited to meet you." She stopped and she looked at me and she goes, "You have a decision to make, don't you, honey?" She said, "It's a really hard one, isn't it?" And I'm like, we hadn't told our church yet. And I'm like, "Shh. It's going to be a big change for you and your family. A big change." And I'm like, "Stop, you're gonna make me wreck right here." And then she says, "Just say yes, honey. Just say yes. All you gotta do," she looked at me, she put her up, she's like, "All you gotta do is say yes. Say yes to what he's saying." So, oh my gosh. I had to go in the bathroom after that. Oh, God is so good. Can you see her? Can you see her? She's so beautiful. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I want to share with you the passage. Do you love me more than these? I want to just break down a little bit in this passage because I believe that Jesus is taking all of us to a deeper level of intimacy. And I believe that there's some things that the Lord might ask of you tonight. I want to pass this on. It's so great. Okay, God is so good. So in this verse, it says that when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I just want to share before I start in on this. Jesus, the setting of this is Jesus is serving his disciples. How many of you guys would love to get breakfast served by Jesus? I was just listening to Michelle this morning, and she was talking about intentional intimacy or strategic intimacy. And I was like kind of wrapping my brain around that, and I realized Jesus is strategic in his intimacy with us. Jesus is so strategic in his intimacy with us. He loves to set the mood, to set the fire. Cook the food. It says, if you go back and read the story, he cooked the fish and he had bread. He was like ready for this. He planned ahead for this. This was a strategic intimacy moment. And just even my testimony about how God set me up with the Honey in the Rock song, it was like, that was strategic intimacy. And I believe that God is desiring so much to have strategic intimacy with us, and we need to open our hearts and our spirits to receive it. And so that's just a shout out for Michelle, because that was beautiful this morning, the strategic intimacy. But this question, I think Tom has spoken on this before, but Jesus is asking, when he says in the Greek, "Do you love me?" He is asking, he's using the word for love, he's using agape love. And agape love is a sacrificial, unconditional love. This is not the kind of love that's all like, woohoo, in the clouds, and you're in love with the feeling of being in love, right? This is the kind of love that is willing to lay down your life. This is the kind of love that requires sacrifice and commitment, and such a love that you're willing to lay down your life. That's powerful love. That's the kind of love that God has for us, right? That's the kind of love that Jesus has for us. He laid down his life for us. And that's agape love. So when Jesus first asks Peter those two first, do you love me's, he's using agape, that strategic form of love. Peter, however, is responding with a phileo love. If you look this up, he's responding to those first two encounters. He's saying, yes, Lord, I love you, but he's not using the same lingo that Jesus is using. He's saying, I phileo, I love you like brother. And I don't know if it's because he's uncomfortable with this level of intensity. Has anybody ever been in a relationship where, if you remember in your relationship, where you first dropped the love you, I love you thing, you know? That's always freaky when you drop the, you know, when you say those words and you're not, you're waiting. If there's a long silence, that's not good, right? I love you, and there's like a pause, right? You're waiting for someone to return the I love you, right? If you remember that awkward, that moment, maybe, I don't know. But there's this level of love that Jesus is coming in on, and Peter's responding with the phileo love. And it's interesting, because this is not the same Peter. Remember, Peter before was like, I love you to the death. I'll even die for you, right? I'll do whatever it takes. I love you so much, right? He was so enthusiastic before Jesus' death, right? But then he ended up denying him three times, right? And he failed miserably. And we know that he went out and wept bitterly because of that failure of love. But so now Jesus is asking him again. And maybe the three times is Jesus giving him another opportunity, right? I don't know, but there's this call to deeper love. And when he said, do you love me more than these? There's debate on what the these were, but I do know that there was a big fat net full of fish behind him. And if any of you guys are into fishing or whatever, that's gotta be exhilarating when the whole net gets filled up with fish and does not break. But it was God, right? He set it up. It was all Jesus anyway. It was God. But Jesus is saying, do you love me more than these? What are these for you? What is it that Jesus might be saying, do you love me more than these? What is that for you? There's three things that I believe that Jesus is asking us. Oh, let me go back to Peter, though, real quick. It's interesting because at the end of this conversation, Jesus says to Peter, he says, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God, and that when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So what Jesus does in this, he's challenging him to a greater level of love. Peter's not sure if he can meet that level, but then Jesus makes a prediction. And this prediction is a heavy prediction. I don't think I'd want to know in advance. If I would have known years ago what, you know, everything is going to happen. You know, how many of you guys know sometimes if you would have known what God was calling you to do, that's what Seth, the guy that we just passed the church off to, he said, if I would have known I was coming to Seattle to take over the church, I don't know if I would have come. But there's this level of commitment that Jesus is predicting in Peter's life. He says, you know what? You said you were willing to die for me. You're going to glorify me in your death. And Peter later on in his death, he does glorify God. He is martyred for his faith. So he does get that opportunity to lay down his life for Jesus no matter what. And we sometimes look at martyrdom and we become uncomfortable with that and go, whoa, God, don't ever ask me to do that, right? But, oh my goodness, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints, and what glory is revealed when people lay down their lives like that. What glory is revealed. His name is so glorified when people are able to lay down their lives for him that much. How powerful that is. So Here's some things that I felt like God wanted. These are small things when we think about what God asked Peter to do. God asked Peter to feed his sheep and eventually to lay down his life for the Lord. We think we love God, but we don't really know how much we love God until he says, do you love me more than this? Do you love me more than these? And there's some things that the Lord put on my heart that I just want to ask you tonight. There's three different things that the Lord put on my heart that I want to ask you. And I feel like the Lord is sharing these things because these are all biblical things that I believe that the Lord wants to bring us into greater freedom in. I thought today, if Jesus is intentionally being intimate with us and he's intentionally serving us, he's intentionally trying to speak to us and he's intentionally doing these things for us, what do we give back to him? Because intimacy is reciprocal, isn't it? Like I said, it's that awkward relationship where you say, I love you, and you don't hear anything back, right? That doesn't feel good, right? But when Jesus says, I love you, and he gives his life for us, and he lays everything down for us, what do we give him in return? What can we say back to him? What can we give him in return? It's not enough just to say our words, because he's saying, follow me. There's more, there's an action involved. What can we give him in return? And there's three things that I believe the Lord has put on my heart that are kind of like sacrifices. How many of you guys know God likes burnt sacrifices? He likes it when we lay down things and offer it up to him. He says it's a sweet smelling incense. It's like, it's sweet to him when he smells the sacrifice, the offering that we make, the things that we lay down for him. So this is the first one that I feel like the Lord is asking us tonight. Do you love me more than offense? Do you love me more than your offense? The thing about offense is that if you're really holding on to your offense, it's usually because you feel like you have a right to. You have a right to, you know? I mean, if you really think about, and that's how we justify it, because we think, you know what? If I don't hang on to this, if I don't carry this banner, then I'm gonna be taken advantage of, or it's gonna happen again, right? And we hang on to our right to be offended. It's our right to be offended, right? And we're so afraid. I'm glad that we called down fear today. But we're so afraid to let go of our offense, because then who's gonna defend us? Where is justice? How is justice gonna be served? There needs to be justice. And isn't that a cry in our society right now? It's all about justice, and there's a angry spirit that comes on that. If you jump on that bandwagon, there's an angry spirit because there's a hanging on to offense and a staying offended. I believe that there is a way for justice to happen God's way. And I believe that offense and hanging on to offense is dangerous. And it gets us down a road that can lead to unfruitfulness and unproductivity, and we become someone who is unable to love God in return, and unable to love others because we're hanging on to our rights to be offended. I remember one time I was very offended. Sorry, honey, but it was with you. I'm not going to throw him under the bus because he was making a good decision and what he felt like was a good decision. But it so offended me. It so offended me. He took a little detour in our ministry early on and went back to fishing. Do you know my husband was a fisherman from Alaska? Yes. And he was one of those deadliest catch guys. Yeah, he was. I saw a picture of it. But anyway, I didn't know him then. I knew him after he started pastoring, but he went back to fishing for a little bit and put a bunch of money in this business and did some stuff. But I knew it wasn't ultimately what God was calling him to do. So eventually God got through to him. And I prayed that God would get through to him and that he'd get back on track. And it happened, but at some expense, some pretty big expense. Because when my husband decides to do something, he's like all in. So when he decided that it was time for him to give up the fishing business and to go back into ministry, he gave his side of the business to his partner that he had joined with. And it was a chunk of change. And I'm thinking, what the heck are you doing? That's our house down payment. When are we ever going to have that kind of money ever again? In ministry, we never had that kind of money. And I was mad, like livid, because he gave it all away. He didn't try to negotiate and get half, because I'm thinking, honey, fight for your half. You have a right to that half. Fight for your money. Fight. He's like, no, God told me I need to go back in ministry and I just need to release it all. And I'm like, all? Who does that? That's my house. I was so mad. And we were out in Linden at the time, and I had to leave the house because he's like making the negotiation, and I wanted to like butt in and go, excuse me, this is my money too. You're not giving my house away. And I had to like leave the house, and I like drove off, I remember, and I went to the cornfields. Cornfields, you guys got cornfields out here. I love them. And I started pacing through the cornfields, and I was like letting God have it. He's giving away my house. That's not fair. How am I ever going to get that kind of money again? It's never going to happen. And we're going to go into ministry, and we're going to be poor. We're going to start all over again. And oh my gosh, I was whining just like that at the top of my lungs. And the crows were agreeing. So after I was done spouting and spouting and spouting, I was just letting God have it. There's a quiet voice said, didn't you give your rights to me? Because that's the whole thing I'm saying. That's my right. It's my right. It's my right. And didn't you give your rights to me? I seem to remember you offering up your rights to me at one point. I was going to be a missionary, and I was like, oh. And I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess I did do that, didn't I? And God just like woke me up, and I just realized, oh, yeah, God, I did offer you up my rights. I gave them to you. They're yours. I can't hang on to them anymore. You got something better for me than my rights. Hallelujah. Doesn't he have something better for us? You got something better for me than my rights. And so I released it, and I came back, and I was such a loving, wonderful wife. I didn't tear his hair out. So God is good. We have to lay down our rights sometimes, don't we? We have to lay down our right to be offended. And God is asking some of you tonight to lay down your right to be offended. For whoever desires to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. And more so surely I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Guys, when we lay down our lives, there is a blessing that happens, and there's a reproduction, and there's a multiplication, and there's a blessing of the Lord that comes on us. Hallelujah. And on the flip side, when we hang on to our rights and hang on to what's good for us and hang on to our lives, right? Then fruitfulness is hampered. Fruitfulness is stifled. We don't grow and we don't produce fruit. So Jesus has something better for us. We lay down our rights so that we can produce much fruit. Hallelujah. And secondly, I believe the Lord is asking us tonight, do you love me more than what others think? And guys, this is a big one. This is a big one. Because even in Jesus' ministry, there were people who believed in him but would not confess him. We can believe in him and not confess him. We can say, yeah, I know Jesus is real, but not confess him over our lives. I'm so thankful that today we were speaking out what we believe God was saying to us and not just believing it, but we were speaking it out. But let me read that verse. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Guys, this is a battle that we face so much. And sometimes we don't even realize that it's in us, that we're more concerned about what people think about us than really truly laying our lives down for the Lord. I have such a beautiful picture in my head of the woman that came in that room full of men, and she got down at Jesus' feet and just started crying at his feet and washing his feet with her hair. And like some of the men were like really like put out. They're like, oh my goodness. They could not handle that level of devotion. They could not handle that level of sacrifice before the Lord. They were really offended by it. But she didn't care. And Jesus didn't care. He loved it. He loved it. And I believe that God is calling us to that place. I'm thinking about David, how David danced recklessly before the Lord. He danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. And Michael, David's wife, despised him for his worship. She accused him of shamelessly exposing yourself like any vulgar person might do. 2 Samuel 6:20. And David responded, I was dancing before the Lord, and yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel like this is so, so powerful. Because I believe worship is our highest calling while we're here on this earth. I believe worship is one of the highest calling things that we can do here on this earth. Up in heaven, we just will automatically worship because we're in front of his glory and we're just so blown away. There'll just be constant worship happening. But here, as we are facing our trials and our troubles and people looking at us and the fear of man and being able to lay down a beautiful worship before him is so powerful. I remember when the Lord delivered me from the fear of man. Actually, Anthony and I went to a first conference at Bethel in Reading, and it was a healing conference. And I was like, I'm not sure about it. I was saying, Anthony, this is kind of weird. I don't know if I want to be here. In fact, I was going around the outside and coming in the side door because the main door, people were getting prayed for as they were coming in, and some people were getting wrecked, and they were kind of acting really strange. And I'm like, wow, that's not me. I don't want to be like that. So I was like avoiding getting wrecked, and I was avoiding whatever, and I was like going around. I was living in fear, but I didn't even know it. And I justified it. Isn't that funny how we can be in our ruts? We can be used to our ruts and think that they are from God or they make sense, and we become used to it. I was living in fear of man and fear of being deceived, and I was living in that fear and not allowing myself to receive what God had for me and not allowing myself to abandon myself in worship before him and pour out my heart. I love what Bill Johnson says, that he says, when I was younger, I felt like I had to work real hard for the presence of God and to be in the presence of God. He said, now that I'm older, I just turn my affections towards him, and whoosh, there he is. And there's something that draws the presence of God to us and the glory of God to us, and that's when we turn our affections to him. And so many of us are stingy with our affections because we don't want to look emotional. We don't want to look too crazy, and we don't want to overdo it, and we don't want someone to think that we're trying to be spiritual. And whatever we reasoned, it's just ridiculous, you guys. Look at the person next to you and say, it's ridiculous. Thank you. It's just ridiculous. Because everybody in history, in this Bible, who did anything significant for the Lord, they were willing to be ridiculous for him. They were willing to lay down their lives to show great abandonment and worship and to do crazy things like Gideon tear down his father's worship pole. Well, he did it at night, but nevertheless. But he did it. No, it all came out in the open. But nevertheless, everybody in history, in the history that did, that stepped out and didn't care about what other people thought, they made history. And everybody that held in and were conservative in their love for the Lord and just kept it to themselves, and what do you know about them? Oh, we know about Michael. What happened to her? I just believe God wants to release a spirit of worship. And I have to say, I'm saying it, and I'm proud to say it. The last night at the conference, I got wrecked. Wrecked. You may not know what that means, but I was so overcome with the presence of God. He was strategically intimate with me. He started out with a verse, and then he gave me a picture that somebody gave me that completely confirmed the verse. It was like they had read my devotion that morning that the Lord spoke to me. And they like gave me a word picture that completely confirmed that. And then that night, an older woman came up, and she prophesied that verse over me. And it was the same thing. And I'm like, oh, you're so strategically intentional with us. You're so good. I couldn't contain it any longer. I was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. I just fell on the ground, and I was just waves and waves of his love and his glory was just flowing over me. I'm just puddles on the ground and crying and laughing and crying. Oh, guys, if you haven't done it, it's so good. Oh, my goodness, it's so good. I just like, and I could hardly talk. I don't know how long I was down there, but it was a long time. Crying, laughing, presence of God just come. I'm like, wow, why did I wait for this? Why was I afraid of this? Why was I concerned I didn't want it? And I didn't realize how much it changed in my life. And I got up and I'm like trying to tell Anthony what happened. I'm like, he's like, what are you saying? You gotta try it. Oh my gosh, she's looking at me like, what just happened to my wife? I could still remember that. Guys, the fear of man is not worth hanging on to. Do you love me more than the fear of man? It's so not worth it to hang on to. So not worth it. So I didn't want to pray into that right now, because God, I just thank you that you're releasing a new level of devotion on this church, a new level of reckless devotion on this church. You're releasing a new level of intimacy on this church. God, you're releasing even our emotions. Hallelujah. Emotions are from God. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're releasing our emotions so that we can express fully our love for you. And God, you're pouring out your glory and your presence on this house. And I speak from now on, there's going to be a greater level of reckless worship and devotion and encounters with you in this house in Jesus' name. Amen. And then lastly, do you love me more than what is precious to you? And this is a hard one, guys, because I thought I loved Jesus. And I thought my level of intimacy and my love for Jesus was like right there until he asked me to give up something that I really loved. Until he asked me to lay down the hopes and the dreams and the promises that God had put in my heart. Can you do it then? Can you say I love you then? And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And there's things that are precious to us. And how do we know what's precious to us? So that those are the things that take up our time, our money, our energies, the things that we think about. There are things that are precious that God has given us. And sometimes he asks us to give them back to him as a sacrifice, as a love offering back to him. And you know what? It's not a waste to do it. It's not a waste because he knows how to take good care of our hopes and our dreams. He knows how to take good care of our stuff. And he gave it to us anyway. So when we offer it back to him, it's beautiful. It smells really good to him. And he says, oh, it's going to be even better now. It's going to be even better now. Hallelujah. But sometimes the things that are precious to us are things that we have given our affections to that we never should have. Sometimes the things that are precious to us are the things that we have, I'm going to call them unauthorized affections. Things that we've given our affections to that we never should have. And I believe tonight God wants us to release some of those things or anything that has become an unauthorized affection, something that has consumed our time, something that has consumed our energy, something that has caused us to give what belongs to God to this other thing. And how do you know if God's asking you to lay that down? Well, if it's unauthorized, you know, it goes against God. And I actually remember a time in my life where there was affections that I entertained that went against God's law, went against what God wanted. And I had this spiritual pride that kept me from coming into releasing that. And the spiritual pride was, I can handle this. I felt the affections happening. I felt these emotions happening. I knew that it wasn't right, but I thought, well, I'm not going to act on it, so it's not a big deal. And I kept poo-pooing it and making it little. And I kept thinking, I'm okay, I got this. But I'm okay, I got this turned into arguments. If you find yourself arguing with yourself or with God, I'm driving in the car by myself and I'm like, I got this, I got this. I'm trying to convince myself, I got this, no problem. Oh, there's a problem. If you're if you're arguing with God or arguing, has anybody ever been there? Am I the only crazy one? If you're arguing back and forth with God and you're trying to justify something, usually there's something there that God's saying, I'd like to take that, please. It's time to give it to me. And I remember the day where I finally gave it away, released it. And I remember I was having one of those conversations. I'm good. I've done nothing wrong. I haven't crossed any lines. Let me just have my little feelings. Let me just have my little affections. I'm not going to tell anybody. And all of a sudden, like the presence of God came into the car and I was so convicted that I pulled the car over and I'm like, oh God, what am I saying? This is not better than you. This leads to destruction. This will lead to destruction. This will destroy my life, destroy my family. What the heck? Why am I justifying this? And I just, the conviction of God hit me so strong. And I just said, oh God, I don't want to displease you anymore. I'm done with this. I don't want to displease you. I don't want my affections, even though nobody can see it on the outside, to be put anywhere else but you. This has taken enough of my time. This has taken enough of my emotions. This has taken enough of my energies. God, I release it. And I just like cried. And I just said, Jesus, I love you more. I love you more. I love you more. I love you more. Hallelujah. God is so good. And then he's so good because he just came in and he just loved on me. And I was just, that was it. And then I took the steps. I'm like, okay, I'm going to avoid this person. I'm going to avoid this situation. I'm going to just stay away. I'm completely cutting this thing off. And God was so good. God is so good. He saved me. He saves us. He saves us. He saves us. So why wouldn't we want to give him everything? Why wouldn't we want to surrender everything? Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just give you all the praise and the glory. You're such an amazing God. You're so awesome. Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you that you love us. And Jesus, I thank you for your love and your goodness. But I pray that we would be mature enough Christians that can say, I love you back. Hallelujah. God, make us mature enough Christians that can fully say, we agape love you back. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, we want to love you. We want to love you with everything that is in us. We don't want anything to hold us back. We want you to know that you have a people here that love you and that are not going to be held back by offense, by fear of man, by anything that is more precious than you. There is going to be nothing more precious than you. And God, I just pray that you would show us, God, how to have a sacrificial love for you. God, right now, God, hallelujah. As we hear you saying, I love you, God, I pray that we could reciprocate, that we could say, I love you, Jesus. I love you with everything that is in me. I won't hold anything back. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I believe that there's something in this message that spoke to you. And God loves sacrifices. What can we give him back? I believe he's asking us to offer these things up to him tonight. He's asking us to offer up our offenses. Anything that we've hung on to, anything that we're a right that we are hanging on to that is holding us back from relationship with others, or holding us back from relationship with him. He's saying, I want you to lay that down. I want you to give that up to me. I'm going to be your defender. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. And there's some of you that have been held back in your emotions, that have been held back in your ability to love God fully, in your ability to receive his love. And maybe it's how you were raised. Maybe it's how you've been programmed. You think you got to be strong, or you think that you have to be a certain way, and that's not you. But the Lord's saying, I want to release new emotions on you. I want to release you to love me more. I want to release a deeper level of intimacy with me. And God is saying, I want you to allow me in and to take down that wall of worrying about what people think. Hallelujah. It's coming down. I call it down tonight. That stupid wall, we kick it over. It's just a stupid wall. We command it down. It won't hold back your people any longer. It won't hold back our love any longer. Hallelujah. We're going to recklessly love you tonight, Jesus. Praise your name. And thank you, Jesus. You've got something better for us, even than what we feel is precious to us. Whoa. And I know tonight there's some of you that have unauthorized affections. for things that the Lord has asked you to release. And don't wait. Don't wait. Tonight's your night. Give it up. He's got so much better for you. He's got so much better for you. Hallelujah. So I just want you to come to the altar, because this is a time for sacrifice. We're going to lay these things. If one of those things spoke to you, we're going to lay them at his feet. We're going to make some sweet smelling sacrifices in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus.